Godness, it's the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My guest this morning is Karen Bud Phelan, and her website is budphelan.com. She is an attorney out in Wyoming, and she does work all around the country fighting for people's property rights all across the country. And so Bud Phelan, BudFalen.com. Check out her website. She's got a lot of information on there. You had just mentioned when we went to that quick break, Karen, about ownership of private property as a civil right, and people can start fighting it from that angle. That's real interesting. Talk about that, please, if you would.
Okay. A civil right is basically any constitutionally guaranteed right.
Okay.
And so, when Congress passed the Federal Civil Rights Act, people really thought it applied to voting or free speech or those kind or the slavery issues, and while that is true, an actual civil right is any constitutionally guaranteed right, and citizens have a guaranteed right in ownership and use of their private property under the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. And so we're starting to see, and we're actually using now, the Federal Civil Rights Act as ways to bring accountability and to bring arbitrary actions of local zoning or local county commissions to the court system so that you have your possibility of a day in court based on a loss of property rights, which is a civil right just like voting or free speech or freedom to worship or any of the other rights we normally think of.
Okay. Interesting. So have you made it to wherever you need to go with this yet, with any of the cases, and are you still in the process litigating cases under the Federal Civil Rights Act?
There are other cases that have made it through the process, and the courts have ruled on these cases are brought normally in federal court because it was a federal act that allowed you to sue state and local individuals. I am doing a case right now as a Federal Civil Rights Act on a zoning case in Houston County, Minnesota, which is in very southern Minnesota, and we are working our way through that process now.
Okay. That's interesting. I haven't heard anybody using that angle as a civil rights violation of your civil rights yet from the different people that I've spoken with, so that's really good information. Certainly makes perfect sense to me, but I'm no attorney, but it certainly makes perfect sense to me. I mean, your right to life, liberty, happiness, property, it's pretty clear.
Well,
I would think, huh?
I'm telling you, I am the app master.
I've got it all.
I'm sorry.
I said, and what's important is that this focuses on the protection of the individual property rights, which is, quite frankly, an easier case rather than doing a suit simply on whether they have the ability, whether a county has the ability to zone or not.
Could you repeat that? Because we got like a delay between your conversation and our conversation. There's usually a few second delay before I hear your words for some reason. I don't know why. So repeat that last statement, if you would, please.
I said, I think that the civil rights angle is actually an easier way to go because it focuses on the activity of the local government as opposed to an individual property right. I mean, the other way to deal with land use planning and zoning is to sue over whether the local government has the ability to engage in land use planning. Quite frankly, that is a very difficult case. Not impossible, but it is very difficult. And using the civil rights ability to get yourself into court, I think, is a better action.
Okay. Listen, everybody, that cue music is our hint. We have to go to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't change that dial. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My name is Maggie Rodd, and my guest this morning is Karen Bud Phelan, and we'll be back in three.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner.
IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. My guest this morning is attorney Karen Bud Phelan. She is, her law office is out in Wyoming, but I take it you do work in all 50 states, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, okay. 800-313-9443 is the number. 800-313-9443 is the number if anybody wants to call in and give us their solicited opinion. My guest's website, BudFalen.com, BudFalen.com. You know, I have a lot of people who have called into the show and have been victims of code enforcement. I call them Nazis all around the country, and it's incredible what has happened to people. They've had their property taken right out of their backyard. In one instance, a fellow had, they actually took down the side of his fence, drove a tow truck into his backyard, and towed away a vehicle out of his backyard. I mean, to me, a lot of the things that these people are doing borders on, well, it is criminal. I mean, they're actually stealing his property off his land. I don't know how these kinds of things can go on as they do around the country, Karen. It just is really an amazing thing to me. These different stories that people tell me of the way that their rights are being violated daily around the country here, and how out of control. I've had people on my show in the Antelope Valley of California, and now they're being told that the only vehicles that are allowed to be in the driveway, now they're in the middle of nowhere. The only vehicles allowed to be in the driveway are vehicles that are registered to the name that's on the deed for the property that they own. So this one fellow, his son and daughter who lived with him, they had vehicles in the driveway, and they were told they had to remove those. It's just amazing.
Well, I think some of it is amazing, and it you know, you, I don't think you can generalize that anything. But the one thing I would tell individuals and people to consider is that you've got to consider the relationship between the individual and the government. The Constitution set it up so that the federal or state government has to have a law or a rule or a regulation allowing it to do anything. Whereas individual citizens can do anything not specifically prohibited by a written law or a rule or a regulation. And I think sometimes the bureaucracy switches that around.
Yeah.
One of the things that I tell people to do is that when somebody comes and tells them that they have to do something, a perfectly legitimate question is to say, is what is your legal authority for telling me that? And maybe they have it and maybe they don't. But you have the right as a citizen to know what the legal authority is so that you can determine if indeed you have to comply. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not suggesting that you are mean or, you know, obnoxious about it, but you have the legal right to ask. And I think that citizens need to ask that question more often, because I think sometimes we just blindly go around thinking, oh, we have to do whatever they tell me. And you don't unless they have a regulation to back it up. And so people need to ask that question. It's an important question to ask, and it's your right to know.
Well, you know, our zone, are these zoning regulations or these zoning rules that are promulgated by your local zoning group committee, I mean, are they, would they be considered regulations if it's just something these three people who are on the zoning board dream up? Okay, you can't have, you know, your grass longer than a half an inch this week. And does that become a regulation just because these three unelected people dreamt it up and decided to make it a rule?
Well, it depends on how they did it. I mean, if this is something that has gotten voted on and adopted by a locally elected body, a county commission, or a body like that, then my guess is that you have got to comply, but just only as far as it says. These, you know, additional interpretations, I think, is where we get in a lot of trouble, because people start saying, well, I'm going to interpret it X way or Y way, or you get some local zoning official that has his interpretation of what it means, and that's what you have the ability to question.
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. Here where I live in this little rundown town outside of Philadelphia, they came up with a rule. This is the locally elected town council people, that it was going to be illegal for you to hand out flyers around the town unless you were what they designated as, say, a newspaper. And to qualify as a newspaper, you needed to publish something at least four times a year. Now, to me, that seems, and so then, you know, your local little pizzeria that wants to stick a flyer in your door, of course, they would be cited as in violation of this ruling that the town council created. But to me, that's a direct assault on your First Amendment right to free speech, I would think.
Well, I would agree with that, but I'm concerned that just ignoring it and pretending like it doesn't exist isn't going to help. You know, if it was duly adopted as a regulation, which is the first question you want to ask, because if they adopt it wrong, if they don't follow the proper process, then they can't enforce it. So the first thing you need to find out is did they actually jump through all the hoops? Did they announce it at the public meetings? Does the public have the ability to comment? You know, you need to look at those issues first, and then if they did so and they and this is a real regulation and then it's a violation of free speech, then you have the ability to challenge it.
Well, if, say, for example, they went through all of those, you know, had a public meeting, allowed public comment, and they still adopted it. Does that change the fact that it seems to me a violation of your free speech?
No, I don't think it changes that at all.
Okay.
But where people get in trouble, I think, is that they say, this is a violation of my free speech, so I'm going to just ignore it. And then you get cited up for a violation, and the court's not going to focus on whether it was a violation of your free speech or not. The court's going to focus on the wrong thing. The court's going to focus on whether you ignored, you know, some lawful order. That's not what you want the court to look at. If you know, if you're going to get cited, you want to make sure that you set it up so the court is actually considering the free speech argument, not the wrong argument. And we seem to get, people seem to get mixed up with how to challenge these things, because you want to challenge them in the right way so that what you're doing is you're arguing about this is a violation of free speech. You're not arguing about, you know, whether this ticket was right or wrong, or, you know, whether you're ignoring the rules of a sheriff. You know, there's, I think that the, I mean, certainly the courts have made wrong rulings, and I, you know, I probably know that as well as anybody else. But
sure.
You've got to be able to challenge these in the right way so you get the real issue out there, not some other issue that simply doesn't matter. You've got to keep your eye on the ball.
I gotcha. Because the courts are only going to consider the argument in front of them. They're not going to consider extraneous things. Only the matter that was raised is all they're going to focus on, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the way the system was set up. That really is not a fault of the courts. When the founding fathers set up the three branches of government, it believed that the courts were going to look at the facts as applied to the individual. And so that's what you, I mean, that is their constitutional challenge, is that that's what they do. And so you've just got to remember, you know, what branch you're appealing to, and make sure you ask the right questions so that you can get a good answer. Not that you'll always get one, but at least give them a chance to give you the right answer.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's talk a little bit about landowners and state lands and federal lands. I know I don't know. I've heard of some sheriffs. In fact, I have one I want to get on the show who have been standing up to where, I don't know, Bureau of Land Management, Forestry Service wants to deny people access. They want to shut off access shutting off these public roads that go through some of these federal or state lands, and they want to deny you the access to traverse public lands. Let's talk about that if we could, Karen, because that seems to be coming up more and more, which, of course, you and I both know this is all part of the goal to drive you off your land by denying you access to it. Let's talk about those different tactics that are happening, seems to be pretty frequently out there now.
I think that it is happening more frequently, and they're doing it in several ways. You know, you have the Wildlands Order, which would have prohibited access across federal land. You've also got the agencies, BLM and Forest Service specifically, engaging what they call travel management plans, which is what all those sheriffs in Northern California and Southern Oregon are dealing with, where the Forest Service says for planning purposes, it's going to go out and figure out what roads it wants to close across federal land. And it's simply a way to shut people out. But what these sheriffs are doing is because they're locally elected officials, the sheriffs are now understanding that they have as big a dog in this fight as anyone else. And so they are now using their authorities as locally elected bodies to engage with the federal government before a final decision is ever made and say, look, we are protecting access for our citizens. We are protecting access because if somebody gets lost out here in the national forest, normally it's the local sheriff that's got to go find them and rescue them.
Yeah.
And to do that, they need roads. Or if there's a fire that breaks out, you've got to have roads to fight the fires. And so we're actually seeing a lot of sheriffs and a lot of local governments really standing up, because you're talking about a government interacting with the federal government. And these local governments, whether it's a local resources district or a local school board or the county or the sheriff, have the ability to go from, you know, to work on these issues government to government, which is certainly greater standing than a general citizen has.
Okay. We got to go to another quick 3-minute break, everybody. My guest this morning is Karen Bud Phelan, budphelan.com, BUDDFALEN.com. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't change that dial.
Mommy, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Everybody, this is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. And my guest this morning, Karen Bud Phelan. Her website, she is an attorney, practices all over the country. She is fighting for people's property rights and assaults against them by a variety of people out there and government entities that seek to do exactly that, deny you your right to do what you want to do on your own property, your own land. BudFalen.com is her website. BudFalen.com is her website. Please go there. There's a lot of information on there regarding a variety of subjects that you need to be aware of. It doesn't matter if you're not in Wyoming. If you're in Sarasota, Florida, this issue pertains to you. It doesn't matter whether you're in Buffalo, New York, or you're in New Hampshire, or San Francisco. They are using a variety of tactics to deny you the right to have your property and do what you want to do on it. You were talking about the sheriff's getting involved in fighting back, and that you said the government to government, he has more standing in a courtroom than an individual citizen would be. Why is that, Karen?
It's because federal statutes and the Constitution recognize that governments reacting with governments can have an involvement in a federal decision before the general public is involved. So this isn't something that local governments simply hope to have. This is something that is granted to them and recognized by federal statute and by the U.S. Constitution.
Okay.
The First Amendment allows the citizens to petition their government for redress of grievance. the government can be the local county commission as well as the federal bureaucracy. Taken from that, then the federal courts have interpreted that as local governments have the ability to influence federal agency decisions. And so based on the theory that it's easier to get with your local county commission and get them to do the right thing, or your local school board or your local conservation district, these conservation districts are now representing their citizens in decisions by the federal government. Because what if the federal government says in Washington, D.C. may not necessarily translate to what is good for on the ground in Yreka, California, or somewhere in Texas.
Okay. So I know that I've had Sheriff Mack, whom you may be aware of, and I actually had Sheriff Tony DiMaio on my show a few weeks ago, who was instrumental in helping Wayne Hage, who, of course, has passed away, against, I think it was the Bureau of Land Management that Wayne was in a battle with a few years ago, and Sheriff Tony DiMaio stood up for him. And I know Sheriff Mack is trying to get more sheriffs around the country to understand their unique role as the only elected law enforcement officer in the nation, how unique that is and what abilities they have that so many of them just, you know, don't have any idea of, really, how helpful the sheriffs would be in helping people across the country to fight back if only they understood what their role was. So I'm glad that the sheriffs out there at least figuring it out. You know, it's so amazing to me. Well, I don't know. I say this over and over again. I feel like I'm a broken record, but it really is. It is amazing to me that these different agencies would think that they have a right to just close down public roads, taxpayer-funded public roads, that somehow they seem to think they just have a right to close them down, and, oh, well, too bad.
Well, I think you're seeing that more and more, and part of the problem is that the reason they think they have all this authority is that we let them.
Yep.
We have, the citizenry has not been well-educated and complacent for so long that these agencies have really taken their authority and gone unchecked. And we're now starting to wake up citizens, but there's not near enough of us awake to really, you know, make that big difference yet. But at least now there's enough of us awake to make it a fight. And that is one reason that I have hope that maybe we can still survive in this great country.
Let's talk about county and citizen participation. What do you mean by use of citizen rulemaking petitions? What are those? And I know we're going to hit another 3-minute break in a minute or so. You know, maybe we can hold off and start that topic, or start it now if you'd like to. We got about another minute or so before we're going to hit the break, Karen. So go ahead.
I can start real quick.
Okay.
The federal agencies as well as state agencies can take a lot of requirements through rulemaking. And one of the things that we're trying to do is that the environmental groups and other radical groups have used petitions for a long time to drive the decisions in their direction. And what we're simply saying is, look, we can use that same process to bring back and to get some of these regulations withdrawn that are so stifling American business and property rights.
Okay. So where would somebody even begin to do that? How would they know? Is it just simple sentence verbiage one would put on this petition, or is there a set format that needs to be used? And I know I'm hearing the music, so you can answer that when we come back here. And we'll be back in 3 minutes. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. Three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com is my website. I will link to Karen Webb Phelan's on mine under the tab entitled Podcast. We'll be back in 3, everybody.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
She is an attorney. Her law firm practices in all 50 states. They do fight for people's individual property rights. When we went to break, you were talking about the use of citizen rulemaking petitions. And I was just looking on your website, and it talked about the number of, just in 2009, the number of rules, pages of rules in the Code of Federal Regulations, the number of pages was 163,333. Now, who would have the time nor inclination, Karen, to want to read all of that stuff to find out what it is you're allowed to do and what it is they now say you cannot do? You know?
Well, I don't think anybody does, and you're starting to see now, you know, people waking up to the fact that these regulations are, so many of them are not out there for a good purpose. I mean, it is certainly Americans want clean air and clean water and a healthful environment. But there's pages and pages and pages of regulations that have nothing to do with that are simply a drain on small businesses, you know, people who can't afford to read all those millions of pages of regulations. One of the ways to stop some of those regulations and to get the federal government to get rid of some of these useless and ridiculous regulations is to file petitions requesting their removal. then you have the ability then to get into court and either force their removal or at least force the federal government to consider the substance of your complaining.
So is there a set process? Does there need to be a certain number of signatures on this petition? Can anybody institute a petition? Could I do it, or do I need to be involved with a group to do it? How does that work? Is there a little rule book we need to follow to do this?
No, it's actually very simple. The First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees your right to petition the government for redress of grievance.
Okay.
So that's basically what you're doing. I mean, all that's really required is to identify what you want the federal government to change. I mean, I think writing a petition that says eliminate all federal regulation would be probably not particularly well taken.
But even though it's a good idea.
Yeah, it may be a good idea, but I think you're probably not going to get very far with that. And so what we're trying to do is say, look, are there regulations that are killing your business? Are there regulations that are harming your property use or your property rights that need revisited, that the government needs to review and that they need to get rid of? And so the petition simply needs to identify, either in one petition or, as many petitions as you want to file, what that regulation is and whether you want it withdrawn or what you want it changed to. And then you simply send it to the federal government, and they are required under law to respond. You're probably not going to get a response in 10 days, but at least it starts the process.
Okay.
And we're trying to get people burned into action. It is not enough to sit at home and complain to your husband about how badly we are being treated in America. While I'm glad people are waking up to the fact that our rights are being trampled, we need to do something about it.
I agree. And I know on your website, if people go to your website, Bud Phelan, BUDDFALEN, there is actually let me get out of this tab I'm in. Under the tab, County and Citizen Participation, there's actually you've got a press release, Petitions for Solutions, under the heading of Use of Citizen Rulemaking Petitions. That gives people some instructions on how to do that. So I'm telling everybody, go take a look at Karen's website. Look at the tab entitled County and Citizen Participation, and you'll find some information on there. You got to take a look. You got to get involved. As Karen is saying, you can't sit on the sidelines. I know everybody loves Monday night football, but all it is bread and circuses, kids. As we're being enslaved here in this country, everybody's sitting there, watching Monday night football, and I have nothing against football, but it ain't going to save you. I can tell you that much. Karen, we have a couple of callers, so let's take the callers. John in California. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Karen, have you looked at the concept under code enforcement offices? They call themselves an office. They call themselves a code enforcement officer, and they show up with a shiny badge. And then they go get sheriff as muscle if they need it. But those terms are specific under Constitution. I thought only the people could create an office. And it seems to me that none of these offices or officers have been created by the people anywhere. They've been established by so-called building departments. And even if they are an office, they don't have the power to create an office. But nobody seems to look at that. In California, even the oath has been changed, and it doesn't seem like anybody's been paying attention to that. There was an L.A. Supreme Court case called Vogel versus County of L.A., 69 California, 2nd 18, that specifically discussed the fact that these oaths, it says if any oath is changed besides what was written in the Constitution, that the entire oath becomes invalid. Therefore, these people have no power. They're all fraudulent. Have you looked at any of that?
I haven't looked at that, but I think that goes back to one of our original conversations about citizens need to be asking questions of who these people are and where they get their authority. And I'm not familiar with that specific example, but that's one of the reasons we need to be asking these questions as to who you are, where did you get your authority, maybe what they're doing is valid and maybe what they're doing isn't. I mean, I can't comment until I see this specific situation. But the issue is do you even know, or are we just blindly agreeing and giving these guys authority simply because we are acquiescing in that instead of, you know, asking the questions and making sure that what they're doing is constitutionally correct?
One other comment. Rod Clash just recently won a case in North Carolina in which against the police department, in which the government was forced to come out and say that the police departments really were not constitutional. They were private entities, they're corporations. And that seems to be the case everywhere. It seems to be these governments aren't really governments. They're just private for-profit entities and constitutions. I mean, they're not really under the Constitution. They're all under this administrative law crap. I know that we're fighting a lot of stuff, and the people just ignore you. If you bring up the Constitution, they don't really don't care about it. They just say it doesn't apply here. So with Rod Clash winning that case, proving that these things are corporations and private entities, that may be another vein of attack. Have you read anything about that case yet?
I have not, but as you were talking, I took notes, and I'm going to look into that.
I can send you some case information on that. Do you have an email address?
Yes, it's on my website, and if you just send it to my website, then I'll get it that way.
I will send that California case, and I will send that Rod Clash case to you.
John, send that information to me as well, if you would, please, because I'm going to put it up on my website, too, so that people have that information.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, John. My email address is right on my website.
I have it, Maggie.
Oh, okay, great.
I send you stuff pretty regularly, if you notice.
Oh, well, you know what? A lot of people do, John,
yeah.
So I don't know, you know, there's a lot of Johns out there. I don't mean to be insulting, but a lot of people send me stuff. So, okay, great. Thanks,
right.
But make sure you do, John, okay? Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Karen, let's take another caller. We've got Joe in Virginia. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Fine. Maggie, and a nice lady that's with you. Are you talking about federal regulations that these agencies are working under, or are these state regulations?
Well, there are both.
Yes.
Okay. This is something that Mr. Winterode has been working on out of Alaska, and he's proven that many of these agencies, like the EPA and, you know, your Environmental Protection Agency and all these other agencies, are operating under regulations that have not qualified under the Administrative Procedures Act. Therefore, they don't have the force and effect of law. They're simply putting them out there. The public doesn't know. They feel like they've got to do it because, oh, this is a regulation. Now, many of these regulations, like in the case of the IRS, they have no force and effect of law. In other words, they didn't qualify under Title V like the Congress mandated them to do. When they publish a regulation, they've got to meet certain requirements under Title V, I believe it's Section 553, Sections B, C, and D. And they've got to put out a public comment, a 90-day waiting period. They've got to answer all the questions, and, you know, that the public submits. And if they do not do this, then these are just, you know, interpretive regulations that don't really mean a thing to you and me. So what I want to say is maybe this lady should get in touch with Ralph. His, you know, his phone number is available. He doesn't care if anyone calls him. I can't remember. I think the area code is 901, but it's 357-8003 in Alaska. And he can, you know, he can actually tell you how to find out if these regulations actually have the force and effect of law. And if they don't, when you go to court, this makes them turn backflips.
All right. Okay. Thanks for calling, Joe. I don't know if you want to comment on what Joe was referencing at all, the Administrative Procedures Act. Karen, if you do.
Well, no, I think that he is absolutely correct.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons you want to ask, what is your authority to tell me what I have to do? We talked initially about secretarial orders. Those are not passed. They do not go through APA requirements that he was citing, yet they're applying them to individuals anyway. That's why we need to be vigilant in finding out, you know, what are the requirements? Have they been lawfully adopted? What are my rights before I agree to do whatever somebody is telling me to do?
Okay. So in essence, everything needs to go out through Administrative Procedures Act. They need to comply with these procedures before they have, and I'm going to use a term, force of law.
Yes, they call it full force and effect.
Okay. All right, because I know who you mentioned, the Ralph Winterout, is one of the other hosts on this station. He's on Sundays, and he's been fighting the battle up in Alaska for years and years and years. And so I guess, the angle that he's been approaching it at. But it's, it really does, somebody emailed me while we were talking, and it really does boil down to, I guess, and it sounds like an oversimplification, to be honest with you, but the question you said that people need to ask, you know, is what is your legal authority for telling me to do such and such? And nobody thinks to ask these things. We don't know these things. We don't know our rights. And I'll give you an example, and you may even have heard of this, Karen, but a week or so ago there was a community-sponsored or community-supported agricultural farm in Nevada that was going to have a little picnic, and had invited some of the people who belonged to it, who supported it, to enjoy the vegetables and the meat from the animals that they raised on this farm. Well, they were told that they needed to get a permit, so they got a permit. And then the day, a couple days before, they were having this little picnic. And the day of the picnic, somebody from the Nevada Department of Health, I think she was from, came to the farm and told them that their meat wasn't USDA inspected, so that they weren't allowed to serve that, and the vegetables, both the meat and the vegetables, were biohazards, and that they needed to destroy them, and that they needed to destroy them using a mixture of bleach so that they'd be not even edible to be given to the animals as feed. And of course they complied with it, and then one of them remembered that they had a magnetic sticker or something on the refrigerator for a law firm that specialized in, I don't know what their specialization was, but they called them and they told them, did you ask this woman if she had a warrant to be on your property? And they said, no, they hadn't, but unfortunately they had already destroyed the food. And they told her, you don't have a warrant. And she said, no, I don't have a warrant. You need to get off the property. This woman left and then came back with the local police, who didn't understand what it was this woman was claiming these people were doing wrong in the first place, which, of course, they weren't doing anything wrong. And so they just left. But that's a perfect example, I would say, of, you know, people telling you to do something. These people destroyed all that food, and, you know, because they didn't know what their rights were.
Well, and I really think that's the problem, is that the citizens, unfortunately, have become complacent, and we don't know what our rights are. And I think that taking this country back is going to start with the citizens understanding what their constitutional guarantees are.
Yeah,
rather than the government doing something on its own. It's the citizens that have to enforce their rights.
Yeah, well, we don't know what they are, and people are so intimidated. They're afraid. I mean, you've got a lot of instances where these people come out. I'll give you another example, which I know you're a busy lady. You may have heard of this or may not have, but I remember seeing a video of a man with his two young children. They're like, say, 4 and 6. He was a SWAT team. Broke down the doors of his house at 6 o'clock in the morning because they were looking for his ex-wife, or it was his girlfriend or his ex-wife, who had her address was the same as his, because she hadn't paid her student loan bill. Now, this was an armed SWAT team with assault weapons, and they took this man and his two little kids and stuck him in the patrol car for several hours while they went through his house. I mean, this is all for a student loan.
Yeah.
Bill that was unpaid. I mean, it's just Gestapo, outrageous kind of tactics that are happening, you know, and this is the same with going on to people's lands out in the Antelope Valley. They've got a NAT team, as they call it, which is the acronym for a nuisance abatement team, and these people come out armed and all, they're armed to the teeth because somebody's got a car parked on their land that they say they can't have there. You know, it's like a police state, if you ask me.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think, you know, you can't generalize for everyone based on one set of bad facts or another, although there's plenty of examples out there where it is clear that the government has overstepped its bounds. But the answer to that, at least in my thought, is that the citizens have to stop that by enforcing their guaranteed rights. And how you know, even back at a time during the Founding Fathers where it was difficult to get books and it was difficult to read, and that's, you know, that's why we created the representative system in the first place. I think citizens understood the Constitution, and I'm afraid we don't do that now.
Oh, I agree with you. We don't do it. I don't think they even teach it to the kids in school because their whole educational system, they're deliberately dumbing down people so that we will just say, okay, whatever you want to do to me, and if you say I got to do that, okay, I got to do it. We're a nation of sheep, and we've done this to ourselves, really. They certainly had a role in it, our educational system, but we've not bothered to take the time to find out the truth because we've been naively going along to go along, and it's unfortunate. We've got to go to the final break of the show, everybody. We'll be back in 3 minutes for the final segment. Don't change that dial. We'll be back in three.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121. 4121.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
The Dallas Arms Collectors Association Incorporated is holding another gun and knife show following Thanksgiving on the weekend of the 26th through the 27th of November 2011. The Dallas Arms Collectors are again promising the single largest gun show in the state of Texas, where you can buy, sell, or trade various firearms, platforms, and knives and other shooting accessories. Admission costs are adults $10 single day pass or $15 for a 2 day pass. Children under the age of 12 receive free admission. Free admission is also included when applying for or renewing your NRA membership. The show is open to the public 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. Parking is free with 24-hour security on site. For more information, please visit www.dallasarms.com or call 972-369-6062. And don't forget to visit us at the Republic Broadcasting Network booth.
This is Maggie Robb. This is The Unsolicited Opinion, and my guest this morning is Karen Budd Phelan. Her website, buddfalen.com. There is also a list on her website of speaking engagements, and there is a link to a YouTube video when Karen had given a speech in, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Eureka, California, at the Sheriff's Stand Tall for the Constitution conference. So everybody go to Karen's website, to Budd Phelan, BUDDFALEN.com. She has a law firm. They do work on all 50 states. And for people listening, it might make sense to, I know there's so many people who've been victims in so many fashions, and they don't know what to do, Karen. they don't know what to do first, I guess, when they are confronted by, you know, different, the Bureau of Land Management or the Forestry Service or zoning officials. They don't know what to do first or where to turn or what to do. So I know we've only got a couple more minutes. We actually do have a caller, but he's going to have to. We'll take him quickly. Barrett, you've got 30 seconds to make your point or ask your question. Barrett and Idaho.
I just want to read the Communist Manifesto. It's only 10 steps. Take a second.
Okay.
Number one.
Thanks, Barrett. Barrett, no, you can't read the Communist Manifesto now. We don't have time. Thanks, Barrett. People can look it up. Karen, suggestions that you have for people or have them, what would you suggest they do? Where to start? Learn the Constitution? Learn the rights? What do you suggest?
I think that the first thing that you need to do is I think you know, just sitting down and reading the Constitution and understanding it, I mean, is a good place to start. But that seems really daunting, I think, to a lot of people. What I would suggest is start asking questions, particularly if you have an enforcement official show up on your door, or if you have you know, received some letter that says you have to do something or the other based on a federal law or statute. As I said, I don't think you want to be obnoxious about it. I am not suggesting that you immediately take up arms. I'm simply suggesting that you ask the question, what is your legal authority for asking me this? What is your legal authority for standing here at my doorstep and demanding that I destroy this meat? What is your legal authority for closing roads that would get me to my house? That's the first question that people should always ask. And if whoever is standing there can't produce that information, then you should be very suspect of whether they even have the right to be there at all.
Well, even if they say to you, like, well, you know, the code says I can do this, or the Bureau of Land Management says I can do this, I think you still need to take it a step further.
Oh, I would
not
agree,
just
but
take
you
their word
see what
for
it. Is. You know, is it, do they have, is it, you know, is it, you know, a number, then United States code, and then give a section, and, you know, what does that say? You know, the citizens in this country are certainly smarter than what they seem to be given credit for. And I think that just simply reading something and understanding and seeing what it is and not just taking somebody's word for it is your first step into taking some of your guaranteed rights back.
Okay. Karen, we're running out of time here. I want to thank you so much for all that you do, for standing up for people all over the country. Karen Budd-Phelan has been my guest. Thanks for joining me today, Karen.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Listen, everybody, I'll put Karen Budd-Phelan's website, Bud Phelan, on mine under the tab entitled Podcast. You can go to mine, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. You'll have information to reach Karen if you so desire. Listen, everybody, you know I love to go to Oz. Somewhere over the rainbow truly is a wonderful place to be. We've got people like Karen Budd-Phelan standing up for you and I. So don't lose heart. Better days are coming. The sun will come up tomorrow because it always does. I'll be back. And Deanna Spingola is next, so don't change that dial. Take care, everybody.
There's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby.
The next